The Mike Lupica Podcast.
We are back now with the great Mike Lupica. He's one of the country's
most prominent
sports columnists.
Mike Lupica has covered just about every sport.
Candid interviews with legends he calls friends.
I was talking to Jordan about Woods after the basketball game the other night. Everybody in sports to be the next this guy, the next this guy. And Michael said, no, he's the first Tiger.
In your face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A $1 billion industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Hello, and thanks for joining us again on the Mike Lupica Podcast. Today, we'll be joined by my friend, Donnie Deutsch. You see him on Morning Joe and other platforms in MSNBC. He's a legendary ad guy, and you can catch his show, Dialing Donnie, on SiriusXM Channel 109 Wednesdays, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. But before we get started with Donnie, a word from Gillette. Every morning I use my Gillette razor, I know what I'm getting, a great shave. It's been a consistent part of my daily routine and my dad's for such a long time. My dad used a Gillette, so there was never anything else in our family. My Pro Glide and Fusion Cream give me the close, comfortable shave I'm looking for. Gillette offers a variety of shaving products for every guy. The new Gillette 3 and Gillette 5 razors start at $7.99 and deliver even more options for every guy by offering trusted quality at an affordable price. The Gillette 3 and the Gillette 5 are both available in stores. For guys looking to get Gillette Performance delivered to their door, you can find Gillette 5 at GilletteOnDemand.com. Check it out today. That's GilletteOnDemand.com. Welcome back to the Mike Lupica Podcast, and it has been too long since we had Donnie Deutsch on. You see him on Morning Joe. You see him on various other MSNBC shows. Sometimes we appear on Morning Joe together. He is a legendary ad guy. Once started his own, I guess you could call it reality show on the USA Network.
Comedy,
does it?
Scripted comedy, not a reality
scripted
show.
Comedy. That's. But it was just all about you, which you were pretty comfortable with. And
yes.
He is now hosting his own radio show on Sirius, and he joins us today. Good day, Mr. Deutsch.
Good day, Mr. Lupica. How are you, sir?
I am fine, sir. I've been all over the place. I just got back. I had a great week in London with my youngest son going to tennis. Donnie, we went to the Columbia England game in a pub in Victoria last week.
What that was like.
Donnie, it was, as Zach Lupica said afterwards, it was great till it wasn't, because Columbia scored in the 93rd minute, till it was after penalty kicks. You know what? It makes you jealous when you see what it is like to be in this country, these countries that have a team. We don't have anything comparable to this in sports. And you know what Pete Hamill said to me the other day, Donnie? This is one of those times when you look around and you feel like the world's turned into absolute shit, that sports is like a beacon and something to hold on to.
Yeah, it is. The closest thing I could think of is if you're a college town, if you're in, you know, Chapel Hill in North Carolina is in the Final Four. I mean, that level of emotional connection. You know, what's unfortunate, not to drift too quickly into politics, that's what was such a shame when Trump started to kind of politicize football. You know, it's the one thing that red state, blue state, old, young, you know, you get together on Sunday and it's kind of a national town event, not anywhere near the level of what happens in the World Cup, but you're right. It is one of the few places right now that we can all kind of plug in together as one. And the World Cup, you know, kind of takes anything we do to a whole other level.
You know, it was this morning, as Donnie and I are having this conversation, that Trump behaved so badly at the breakfast in Belgium for NATO.
Yeah.
And when he was talking to the Secretary General of NATO, I actually thought for a minute, Donnie, that he had confused him for an NFL player.
Yeah. You know, it's so sad. You know, Trump doesn't, I think, like being part of any group. You know, I think if it's not just singularly about one, and there's just an ignorance of him understanding what NATO is and the connectivity, and it's not a zero-sum game. And, you know, this is unfortunately going to be contrasted by him with all Smiley in Helsinki, you know, with Mr. Putin. You know, the growls and the snarl and the snarls on his face, he just has no simple understanding of what our allied relationships mean. And it is a mutually beneficial. That doesn't mean you can't stand back and say, hey, look, you know, you guys need to up your defense spending. So in any relationship, in any partnership, in any group meet, if you well, obviously there's room for growth, but to kind of sneer at it the way he's been doing is both ignorant and stupid.
Talking to Donnie Deutsch on the Gillette Hotline. All right, so let's back up, since we are in Trump world now. You made some news and some headlines recently on MSNBC because of your conversations and your relationship with Michael Cohen. Donnie, for people who don't know, explain your history with Mr. Cohen.
Oh, I'll explain my history with Mr. Trump and Mr. Cohen because they're kind of related. I've known Donald for close to 20 years. We were friends. As much as somebody can call being Donald a friend, you know, it's usually based on business and whatnot. Donald, I appeared on the first three seasons of The Apprentice, where they would do tasks for my agency. He appeared numerous times on my show, The Big Idea. I lived in one of his buildings. Our kid went to school together. We did a sort of social circuit. We'd speak on the phone. And I always kind of got a kick out of him, thought he was in on the joke. Certainly a different guy that showed up as president and a very serious anti-Trumper. I got to know Michael kind of similarly. Michael was Donald's right-hand man, regardless of what Trump says now. I also knew Michael socially in the city. He was at my kid's bar mitzvah. And, you know, you would speak to Trump, and then 5 minutes later, Michael would call to either kind of, you know, pick up the collateral garbage or to do a follow-up. I'll never forget once when Trump first came out with his birther movement, and I went on, I think it was The View, and said he was behaving like a racist, and Michael called me up, and, you know, Donald's very hurt, he's very upset, you make up with it, you know. So that was the dynamic of the Trump-Cohen relationship, and that's how Cohen and I became friendly. And Michael's a friend. You know, he's obviously going through a lot right now. You know, I even though he was close with Trump, we were able to kind of keep our friendship even through the campaign, but clearly the Trump-Cohen relationship has shifted gears in the recent months.
Donnie, how damaging can Cohen be? Everybody used the word flipped, and I don't even know if a lot of people use that, actually know what it means. But how much damage can he do to the president of the United States before this thing is over?
Well, I'll speak from a macro level and then a little bit of a micro level. From the macro level, if you know nothing about specifically what's been going on, I haven't been following the Mueller investigation, I haven't been following Michael, all you need to know is that Michael Cohen was Trump's right-hand personal lawyer for the last 10, 15, 17 years. So anything that Trump has done, Michael's going to know about. Now let's move to the next piece of the equation, that if you assume that Donald Trump has not been the most upfront businessman and has had some very nefarious business dealings and other dealings, if anybody's going to know about it, it's going to be that guy. So let's start with that math. And then specifically now, I think anything having to do with the big questions are, what did Trump know about Russia? How involved was he? And if he was involved, certainly Michael Cohen is going to know, and is going to know anything else. And Michael Cohen said to Stephanopoulos last week, what he has said to me in the past is that he's going to put his family first, as he should, in the end, in country. So I think you can kind of take a pretty simple straight line for at least a very firm dotted line, what that means. And that there, at some point, I believe they will indict Michael based on the raids. And at that point, you know, they don't want Michael. You know what this investigation is about. And Michael's going to do what's best for him and the country, which I don't think is very good news for Mr. Trump.
We're talking to my pal Donnie Deutsch on the Gillette Hotline. Donnie, you know, I think about this all the time. I mean, I have a column in the Daily News this morning off a great front page about these missing kids and how the world cheers as these soccer players are rescued in Thailand at the same time that we're ripping kids away from their parents at the border. And we talk about this all the time on MSNBC. I write about it all the time. And do you sometimes feel that we're all just shouting at the ocean, or do you actually believe that we're doing some good by shining a light on stuff like this?
Well, we're doing the best we can. The question is, does it register and does it move the needle at all? And the concern is the parade moves on, you know, and two and three. It's the same thing, unfortunately and tragically, with any shootings, you know, and for two or three days, everybody hair lights on fire, and then the parade moves on in this 24/7 crazy news cycle. So there was a heightened awareness several weeks ago, and yes, people are still talking about it, but these kids still are separated, and their parents still don't know where they are. And, you know, I took a lot of heat a couple of weeks ago by saying from here on in, you got to stop pointing the finger at Trump and saying he's a bad guy. That if you vote for Trump going forward, you own all of it. And
yes.
You own ripping kids from people's arms, just like the Nazis did. And then, of course, Fox News turned around and said, Donnie says if you vote for Trump, you're a Nazi, which is, of course, not what I said. But, you know, you can't let this go. I mean, this is not who we are. And to me, this is one of the things that if I was running the DNC, the mission statement for the midterm elections has to be, it's not a midterm election, it's the vote of your lifetime, it's the vote for who we are and who you are. And do you stand for freedom? Do you stand for true democracy? Or do you stand for an autocrat? And it's that's where we're going. And it's basically, that's, you know, you chip away piece by piece by piece by piece. And this is the playbook. And you saw Trump standing next to Erdogan today. And this is who he is. And if he had his way, what he telegraphs it like all autocrats do. A, the press is the enemy of the state. B, entire groups of people can be banned, a.k.a. Muslims. The judicial system and the intelligence community should report, you know, purely directly to him. There should be no checks and balances. He says it. He telegraphs it. And that includes, you know, basically ripping kids from parents' arms, which is not what we do in this country, but we're doing it now. And we're in a very, very scary place. And if anybody is not a student of history, become one, because you'll see what the stakes are right now.
I want to read you something that Andrew Cuomo said to me yesterday that I used in my column today. And he's talking about our policy at the border. I don't believe this is rampant incompetence. I think there was a deliberateness to what they did. They wanted this. They wanted this kind of deterrent. You know what this was? It was a shakedown from the start. President Trump wanted a wall. He wanted it for more than a year. He didn't get his wall. Okay, he said, you don't give me my wall, I'm going to take your children away from you. We're going to take your children, and some of them are going miles away, and you won't know where they are. And even when we start reunification, it will be long and hard and complicated. So now let me ask you a question. You still want to come across the border?
And, you know, the answer to that question from those parents will still probably be yes. Because they will say, A, I will take my chances and maybe my child won't be pulled away. But even if they're pulled away, they might be even better off than being a sex slave or a gang member. And so, A, I don't think that's going to be a deterrent. And look, this is a very hands-on administration. They know what they're doing. This is not an accident. And the only reason they stopped, the only reason, was the public outcry. It was not a moral imperative. It was not because they said, oh, wow, we found out this is... It was never, oh, my God, we didn't know this was going to be happening. Obviously, Sessions telegraphed it. You know, there's this tape of him saying, look, if this is a consequence, this is a consequence before it happened. So, of course, they knew what they were doing. And I think just that there's no way to look at it any other way.
Even now, I mean, you knew that when he made that statement about reunification, that it was that it was a bogus show to get everybody off his back. Yeah. But when you said something before, Donnie, that's true. He wanted Congress to take care of this, okay? And he wanted to lay it off on Congress. And now nothing has been solved now.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine said to me this morning, does anybody think that the whole show with the Supreme Court nominee wasn't done at this particular time to take pressure off of him because a federal judge just slam dunked him on the issue of reuniting these families?
Yeah, I think he would have been making this appointment fast either way. But clearly you can draw a line between those two things. But I want to keep coming back to that. What I would love everybody, if you, wherever you are in this world, if you're listening, we've got to stop saying, oh, look at Trump. Look at that bad guy. Look at what he's doing. That's a given at this point. He has come as advertised. And to all of the people that go, well, I know he's a schmuck, but, my taxes are better off. Or I know he's a bad guy, but, you know, we need a little stronger. There are no buts. You own it. And if you vote for Trump going forward, you are that guy. You are that guy saying it's okay to behave the way you can't put an asterisk next to it. You can't say, well, you know, the Democrats are this. You own it, and it's you now. It's not him. And that's what we've got to start telling to people about, that you own it. You can't just say, well, you know, it's Trump, and yeah, he's crazy, but he's doing some other things, and he's okay. You know, the more discussions I have, and Mike, I know you have them also, with people who live in Manhattan, and you can see it in their face. They'll go, Yeah, he's a bad guy. Yeah, you know, and he's ripping people from their family. Yeah, but they shouldn't be here in the first place. And my IRA is looking pretty good. And the stock market, you know, and to that I say, shame on you.
Donnie Deutsch joins us on the Gillette Hotline. Okay, and as I said, and every once in a while I have to tell the truth about my friend Mr. Deutsch. He was one of the legendary ad guys of his time. Okay, I'm going to ask you to put that. I'm going to ask you to put that hat back on. Okay. I'm putting you in charge of the Democratic Party. And you've already stated how important you think that everybody knows how important these midterm elections are going to be. But I want you to brand successfully the Democratic Party for the 2020 presidential election.
Okay. I'm going to do it right here, but I'm going to first give you a two-minute personal anecdote that's going to be the inspiration for the branding. And it happened to me a couple of weeks ago, going back to something I said earlier, when I went on the air and said, you own it, what Trump does from now on.
Right.
I can't just say he's the bad guy. Did you hear me out? Let me just say it again. And it basically, it is no different than pulling kids from people's arms like the Nazis. And it got turned around and got said that, oh, Donnie says you're a Nazi, you vote for Trump. So I start getting thousands of these horrible, nasty, you know, DMs, fuck you. You know, the most horrific things, your children are not, you know, everything you say. And of course, I never respond to them. And I got one from a vet, a Desert Storm vet. And I want to read you the exchange. And this is going to be the basis for the position. He writes me and goes, hey, pussy, call me a Nazi. And I don't respond. And he writes, pussy. And I wrote, this is what I wrote back. Instead of saying, like, fuck you, you know, I wrote back, bro, first off, I have tremendous respect for you as someone who has served our country. I genuinely thank you and all others who take that heroic task on. I'm not an idiot. Obviously, I would never call you or anyone else that horrible thing for voting for Trump. Many of my best friends voted for him. My words were twisted. The point I was trying to make is that if you vote for him, you have to own all of his policies, good and bad, including pulling babies from moms as his Nazis. You're obviously a great American. We're both passionate about our country, and I'm sure if we sat down, we could agree on a lot. It's sad how we feel so divided right now. Hope you're well, sir. He writes me back. Now, this is the guy who wrote me, call me a Nazi, pussy. Thank you for that. You just moved up and gained a ton of respect for me. Most of the time, celebrities think they're above the normal American. I agree. If you and I sat down, we would probably agree on most things. I agree. It's sad how divided this country is. Take care, brother. He's calling me brother now. I write back. Your response means a lot to me. If the entire country could read our back and forth, we would all be in a better place. If you're ever in New York, I'll buy you a beer, my friend. Thank you. He goes, I'm all in, brother. Thanks. Sorry I misjudged. And it goes on from there. So in two texts, we go from fuck you, Nazi, to brother and friend. And the reality is we are not that divided. And the message needs to be, we are the United States, a new morning of America. We are the United States of America. We are we don't want to be divided. There are some good points on the other thing, but here are the issues. We want to protect. And by the way, if you voted for Trump, there were a lot of reasons to vote for Trump. But there are a lot of bad things happening right now. And we've got to protect your health care. And we've got to protect freedom of speech. And we've got to protect the things that have made that your grandparents fought for. We are we. Are you in? And that's the message.
Donnie Deutsch is our guest on the Mike Lupica podcast. Much more with Donnie after this from Buffalo Wild Wings. A great man once said, baseball is the wing of sports. It didn't really make sense at the time, and it doesn't really make sense now, but we're inclined to agree because baseball is great and wings are great, and you can find both at Buffalo Wild Wings. And because baseball has fly balls and wings can help you fly, well, we don't know. Maybe the man was saying baseball is America's game and wings are America's chicken. Now, that actually makes some sense, but don't dwell on it. The point is Buffalo Wild Wings has baseball. They've got delicious wings. All that's missing is you. Come for the wings, stay for the baseball. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Okay, but now I want you to take it another step and you tell me, construct your dream candidate to beat this guy in the 2020 presidential election if he runs again.
First of all, you need strength. The person has to have, now strength can come in many, many different forms. But what people respond to about Donald Trump, what people respond to in a leader, this is human nature, is, and you may love him or hate him, but there's a guy in charge, there's a person in charge, there's a take no prisoners, and people want that. So it has to be somebody, man or woman, who has a visceral strength about them. I would start with a vet, you know, a Democratic person who has shown service for our country, can stand up against Trump in a way that nobody else can, and can turn to them and say, sir, you can pound your fist all you want. I've been there. I've been shot at. You haven't. You're weak. I'm strong. Now let the big boys talk, okay? So I would start with that. And it's got to be somebody. It cannot be somebody from the left. It can, the lesson that happened in New York with this nice young woman beating Crowley cannot be the lesson. It's not going to be a Bernie Sanders. It's not going to be. It cannot be somebody on the hard left. It does have to be a moderate. It has to be somebody that moneyed red state and blue state people can walk to, because there are so many people that don't want to be with Trump, but they feel they have no choice. And if you put up Bernie Sanders, I'm going to stay with him. So it's got to be a centrist, and it's got to be somebody who has personal strength and testosterone. That can be a woman also. And somebody who is going to say, hey, look, I want to protect the populist dream. They're not going to lose that populist vote that was always Democratic that he took. And yet, at the same time, you don't need to be scared anymore. And, there's a sane person here. So it's going to be a vet, and it's going to be somebody with some strength, and it's going to be a centrist, and it's going to be somebody that can really go toe-to-toe with him.
Talking to my friend Donnie Deutsch on the Mike Lupica podcast. He's joining us on the Gillette Hotline. Donnie, is it possible that the Democrats could run somebody against Trump in that election who has an extremely low profile right now that the country doesn't really know about?
I think actually that's what has to happen, because anybody that has a high profile right now is not the right candidate. It's just, if you go through the party, you quoted somebody like Cuomo who has the strength, but there's sometimes a likability issue with Cuomo. I don't know, if he's going to be the right answer. And, I mentioned the other candidates that are not right. So I do think, whether it's somebody from the private sector, I do think it's going to be somebody that their celebrity is going to be born at that time, the anti-Trump, if you will. An anti-Trump will be born. So I would, if I was in charge of finding the candidate, I would be curating them right now. It's not going to be the people at the top of the party right now. They are unelectable, and they will be George McGovern if they run against Trump.
You know, Donnie, I was talking to Steve Schmidt about this a few weeks ago, and if you're looking for that Democrat that you're branding and describing, wouldn't that be Connor Lamb like 5 years down the road? Okay.
Correct.
Connor Lamb is only 34 years old as we have this conversation. But how many of the boxes that you're talking about, Donnie, does he check?
It's going to be a guy like that. And it's going to be somebody who has been an American hero, not a fake American hero. I would start with the military. Be caught for 100 reasons. That person on stage has a very different discussion. And when Trump talks about Putin, he can turn and say, hey, look, I fought in a battlefield. I understand what the Ukrainians were going through. I understand what mass murder. Mr. Trump, you don't. You are protected. You are guilty. None of those other guys could do that because they came from similar. So it needs to be somebody that truly put their country first, gave the ultimate sacrifice, they stand in a different place. And they have a kind of balls that Trump cannot match. And you need a big set of balls. And once again, that's not gender specific, to be able to stand toe-to-toe with him.
Donnie, do you think that Bernie Sanders still thinks that he can be president of the United States?
I don't know what the hell he thinks, but he can't. And, for both starting with even the visceral things that I talked about, the external things, Trump, it's got to be almost someone who could win in a fist fight with Trump. And I say that metaphorically, but even if it's a woman who would kick him where it hurts, if you will, whatever it is. And it's just, it's not going to be Bernie Sanders. Okay. It's just not, going to be Elizabeth Warren. They're just not going to do it. Well, this is not an indictment on them as people. This is an indictment on them as a winnable candidate. They will lose 48 states, period. Okay, and that's it. I couldn't be firmer on that. If they go down that path, it would be, when basically the Republicans were hijacked, by the far right, and they finally got someone in there who was disguised differently, and you gotta, even if there is somebody who at the end of the day is going to lean hard left, They have to have a different armor on the outside, or they're unelectable at this point. And that's historically been the case, frankly, long before there was Donald Trump in there. You know, somebody in that hard, hard left cannot. Any Democrat that gets elected, see Bill Clinton, see Barack Obama, are guys that were centrists and in certain ways, you know, had an appeal to big business and had an appeal to people who also in certain ways were right of center, even though they socially stayed in a much left place.
Talking to Donnie Deutsch on the Gillette hotline, again, I keep saying this, as we have this conversation, Joe Biden is 75. He will be 76 in November.
He would have been the guy last time around. That's the guy that has all the stuff I'm talking about.
He's about 4 years younger, older, than the current president of the United States. Do you believe he is going to run for president this time?
I don't know. I'm hearing from rumblings from people that he might, you know, it's going to depend on how he performs at that point. You know, age is a number. And if he's up there and at, what is he, 76 now?
He's going to be 76, interestingly enough, in November.
In November, yeah. So it depends what that looks like. You know, will you say 76 this November or the November of the election?
No, 70. He would be 78 in November of 2020.
Yeah. You know, that number is a tough number. But, you know, Trump at that point will be 74, you know. So, I mean, there is a, it depends what kind of 78 he is. There are 78s that act and look and have the vigor of 60-year-olds, and there are 78s that act and have the vigor of 95-year-olds. So it's going to depend on what that 78 looks like. If it looks like the Joe Biden of a couple of years ago or even today, that's a very viable guy, and he will be comfort food. And I think that the nation by that point, and let's also not forget, 2 years is a long, two and a half years is a long, you know, there's a lot of, you know, prognostication that there's a company, this economy starting to get soft, and we all know it, you know, it's economy stupid. That's what it is. I don't mean Mike Lupica stupid. That's an expression that was born when I was working on the Clinton campaign. And, you know, the economy can start moving in the wrong direction. Trump has not been tested in a world crisis. There can be, you know, so there's a lot that's going to happen between now and then. But from what we're talking about as far as looking at the portfolio and the wardrobe of a candidate, a young 78 Joe Biden would be the closest thing that's in the public domain right now that has kind of the tools that we've been talking about.
Let me throw some other names at you. And again, I qualify this by saying I'm glad she's in the Senate. She seems to be a person of character and integrity and great intelligence. But I don't think Kamala Harris is going to get elected president of the United States in a,
you know,
in
that,
a race
out
against.
Of that world. That's once again, I'm talking about now as a candidate maker. You know, that is the only one that I think, you know, because she's got a lot of spit and fire in her. I think she's great. She's got balls. It depends where she takes her platform, you know, whereas if they, obviously she would, you know, energize minority vote. She would energize women because you see what's happening in the Democratic Party. I call it in a lot of ways the Femocrats. You know, as long as she wasn't so hard left and, you know, you really kind of don't know where her stance exactly is right now. But I've met her, and she has a presence about her. And, you know, look, she would be on the come, as was Barack Obama, you know. And so that's clear. Obviously, she would have a lot more experience than Barack Obama. You know, Barack Obama had been in the Senate, I think, for 2 years. But, you know, out of everybody, out of that whole pool of that universe, she would be the one that I would like to work with and could make it for a lot of the demographic reasons we're talking about.
Talking to my pal Donnie Deutsch, I was talking to James Carville a few months ago.
Okay.
And he's very funny on this subject because he is deeply attuned to all polling going on now about the midterms. Okay. And at one point he said, Mike, if there's one thing I know a little bit about, it's intelligent women. He said, I've learned a lot about intelligent women in
right,
my life.
I've been living with one for a long time. Right?
And he believes, Donnie, he believes this firmly, that apart from minorities and this and that, and the other thing, he believes that women are going to be the blue wave this coming November.
Yeah, they particularly will be with this new Supreme Court appointee, you know, and obviously, you know, they're going to hit that hard. But there is a look, you have to believe that that's going to be the X factor. I thought that was going to be more of the X factor in the 2016 election. with the percentage of white women that actually did go for Trump. I thought it was basically a gender war at that point, and it wasn't as much as I thought. But with what's happened the last couple of years with him in office, with Roe v. Wade being in play, was possibly certainly being in play, with just Trump, little things like him bringing in Bill Shine now, a guy that was, you know, front and center with all the sexual harassment.
I was just going to ask you, you know, Donnie, I was just going to ask you about,
you know,
because now all pretense has been dropped about the relationship between Fox News and this White House.
Yeah. And now, you know, him talking the way he did about Elizabeth Warren, literally like she was a piece of meat. Let's DNA test her, you know, let's, there, you know, I do think, and if the women do not rise, and I agree with Mr. Carville, and if they do not rise in this wave, then there's something about this country that we don't understand, and that the feminist movement is a lot more media-centric and coast-centric than the reality, and that there are a lot of women in this country that are comfortable with a president that behaves this way, that on some level feel it's okay for women, you know, what's been, otherwise they would vote differently, you know. And look, let's remind ourselves that in Alabama, the pedophile lost by 1 or 2 percentage points.
Right.
I mean, it took basically for somebody to be a fucking pedophile or accused by 8 or 10 credible different women to even get almost a 50-50 split. And that's how dug in women are. You know, a lot of women in this country on the not the way we look at the world, or not the women that we interact with look at it. And, you know, and the mindset, well, you know, if a woman gets hit, maybe she deserved it. You know, those are not my words, of course. You know, because otherwise they couldn't vote any other way. You know, and as I said, even with a pedophile, they still managed to get 50% of the vote, or close to 50% of the vote.
We're talking with Donnie Deutsch on the Mike Lubega podcast, and we'll continue with Donnie in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about LinkedIn. Have you tried to hire someone lately? It's hard, but it doesn't have to be, thanks to my friends at LinkedIn. LinkedIn is more than the world's largest professional network. It's also a better way to find great talent. And because LinkedIn considers skills, experiences, location, and more to match and promote your job to potential candidates, businesses rate LinkedIn jobs 40% higher than job boards at delivering quality candidates. 22 million professionals view and apply to jobs on LinkedIn every single week in every industry. Go to LinkedIn.com/now and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/now. For $50 off, terms and conditions apply. Talking to Donnie Deutsch, you see him obviously on MSNBC. He's got his own radio show at Sirius, a legendary ad guy of his time. Donnie, there's a part of me. I want to talk about this actually tonight as we're having this conversation. I'm going to be on with Ari Melber, who is just great. His show is just
great. He's really good.
Okay. Don't you feel sometimes that Trump is like gaslighting a great segment of the population in this country?
Define gaslighting.
Gaslighting is, you know, it's an iconic movie of the 1940s where a husband sets out to methodically convince his wife that she's going insane.
Right.
and nearly succeeds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, this is his playbook, and this is also an autocrat's playbook. You say what was wasn't, and what you think is the truth is not the truth. You throw out 500 lies so that you can't really focus on any of them, and your head starts to spin. Look, you and I are in the media. You and I follow this on such an inside baseball way, and even it's hard to not get confused, or it's hard to not get dulled in the head at some point. Where so now I'm at, you know, it's interesting. I was at a party, actually, where you're taping this from. I don't know. This is a few weeks ago when the whole border thing happened, and a very smart guy said to me, "So, but wait a second, the Democrats were the one that put this in place as far as the kids, you know?" And this is a guy who is a senior vice president of a company, very, very affluent, you know, like who would be very close in to know what's going on. And he was, I had to explain to him, which Obsessions did, and, you know, so we're very close to this. But to most of this country, they are watching, you know, with one half of an ear tuned in and with a predisposed notion. And so it's very easy when Trump gets out there and said the Democrats did it. Yeah. Yeah, the Democrats did it. You know, people are not watching with a bright light in the way they need to be. And it's understandable. People getting up and going to work and worrying about their kids' college tuition or worried about their health care, and they don't necessarily have the luxury that you and I have to sit with a microscope on this thing. And so it is easy to gaslight in the way he's doing it.
You know, it's funny. I'm watching his performance in Brussels.
It's a good word, by the way, performance. Go on.
And I'm watching our guys, Joe, and I'm watching Mika and Mike and John Meacham discuss this. And then, of course, just for my own twisted amusement,
you go to Fox.
I go to Fox. And I go to those yayas on my friend Don Imus used to call them Fox and Fiends,
right.
And they're just all on board with it. They're completely on board with him setting in motion, which we all seem to think he is, the United States of America, which created NATO, distancing itself to the point where we may leave NATO.
Well, therein lies the problem, and it goes back to that little anecdote I shared with you before where a guy from a red state and I were on opposite ends, and then we ever came together. We're all getting our bespoke news, you know, and so, you know, when we are watching, if you're watching MSNBC and people like Joe and myself and you and we are howling at the moon, we're preaching to the converted. You know, we're preaching to the choir. And so the problem now is that the new, we all know this, I'm not telling anything your listeners don't know, the news is filtered. And the new, we get the kind of news we want to hear. And on neither side, frankly, are we here. You know, I tune into Fox once in a while for the same kind of sanity or insanity check that you do. And 90% of the time, my hair goes on fire. And then there are one or two things that come out that get me thinking a little bit of a different way. And the same thing would happen if a Fox viewer turned into MS. They would be screaming at the TV. And then maybe Joe would say something, or maybe Ari would say something. Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but that kind of is a fact, and that makes sense. So, unfortunately, neither side is getting that other view or a median view. And that, you know, I often say one of the, you know, the smartphone is the devil, and it allows us to create our own universe in that what, you know, what we look like, what the world looks like, what's going on. We kind of edit everything that comes into our lives, how we want to see it. We even edit what goes out. We put filters on pictures, and if you're not skinny, you can make yourself look skinny. And so we're all individually lensing the world, and that is not a, what seems to be on the surface, a very democratic thing happening in certain ways is really corrosive to democracy.
By the way, I know you do, and I do, and all smart people should. I love reading Gabe Sherman in Vanity Fair.
Yeah.
And how about his thing today, Donnie? I don't know if you saw it yet.
No, I haven't seen
that. Shine did something that in television is known as downlighting during the Supreme Court announcement the other night to make Trump look thinner.
You're kidding me.
No. Yeah. No, it's in Gabe's piece this morning.
That's so great.
In VanityFair.com. So guess what? If he can do that, Donnie, he will have a job in this administration for as long as this administration lasts.
If he can
figure
out something about his hair and his belly and everything else, he will do fine. That's it'd be amazing to see what's going on a daily basis in that shit show that's going on there now. It'd be amazing.
Donnie, here's what I wonder about all the time, okay? And it's got to be someone more than Stephen Miller, who's Roy Cohn on Training
Wheels. I know where you're going. Like, where is this? Where's the brain? Where is this coming from? Where were the emperor's clothes?
Somebody, who's the person, okay, who is in his ear the most? Is it someone who doesn't even work for him? Is it Hannity? Who is shaping? And I'm putting air quotes around this, okay?
Yeah.
Who is shaping this man's worldview?
I'm going to answer it as best I know, and this is just anecdotally and whatnot. It's a combination of a few things. Every night, he's on the phone with his 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 friends. It can be, you know,
Ruddy and Hannity.
Yeah,
and,
you know, but I mean certain guys from the business world, certain guys from the, and a Miller. And, you know, I think that's it. I mean, it's the, and what the last guy said in his ear and what got the biggest roar at a rally, and what he feels, you know, he is, you know, Joe has often called him a day trader, which is a great metaphor. You know, whatever at the moment is going to kind of, you know, give him his high. Get, you know, wherever the heroin's going to go in the most, wherever it's going to get the most coverage will make him seem bigger and stronger. So I think part of what drives NATO, you know, part of this guy's psyche is, I can't do it, fuck you, I can do it. This is the way it's done, fuck you, I do it this way. And just the very nature of, hey, wait, we come and we kumbaya. Why are we kumbaya? I don't have to kumbaya. When does it get written that it gets set that way? And I think part of what drives him is pure contrarianism that shows his strength, that shows his ability to rise all others. You know, why do I sit with a C of 8? You know, I don't need to do that. And I think that drives a lot of his decision-making as opposed to logic.
Watching him in Brussels, again, that happened on the morning that Donnie and I are having this conversation. There's a part of him, and you, Donnie, it's almost like he says what he said to the guy from NATO today, and he's waiting for the applause from one of his Montana rallies. Okay, yeah. That his whole mindset is he has become the president of those rallies during the campaign. I wrote a column about he was running for president of those airplane hangar appearances. Yeah. Okay, but it's almost like he delivers what he knows will be an applause line and a wild cheering line for all the people wearing their Make America Great
hats. That's the heroine. You see his face when he's at those rallies. You see, and if you watch, please, and I'm not saying he's this person, if you watch old clips of Mussolini with his head shaking up and down when everybody's cheering, there's an eerily similar affectation going on. It feeds him. So you're right. You see it, and it's whereas the irony is, the thing I never understood about the guy, the piece that I find missing, and maybe it's purely the contrarian analysis, it would be so easy. You know, he's kind of brilliantly just kind of owned to his point without any question mark this 40% where he can shoot somebody. So if you say the guy's the ultimate egomaniac and wants to be loved and what, if he made a little turn, he would own the world. Like, that's what's so ironic. If he kind of at any point along this way had said, hey, look, I've been learning this and, you know, this is not, those people aren't going anywhere. You know, those people are not going anywhere. You got those people. So to continually beat that drum where it wouldn't take much, basically just being a humane person and acting civil and just not doing the stupid shit that he does, just not doing the completely antagonistic, inhumane, indecent things, he wouldn't lose those people. You know, he's giving them the judges they want, and you can disagree with the politics, but you can't argue those are very, you know, respected jurists. You know, you can disagree or disagree with the tax plan, but there are many economists that would line up and say it's a good thing. You could agree with a man that was cogently saying, hey, look, we need NATO, you know, we need our allies, but there is an imbalance here. We got to fix it, and we're going to do that. You could agree with a guy and go, look, we can't have open borders. You know, and there are some bad hombres coming in, but there are good hombres also. But either way, we gotta protect this thing, and here's why we got to do it. So it wouldn't take much. It would just get rid of that 20% veneer of hate and divisiveness, and that's what I can't understand. And he would go from 40 to 60. In popularity. So I can't, from being a armchair psychiatrist, can't figure that one out.
Talking to Donnie Deutsch on the Gillette Hotline. Donnie, do you think it is a Democratic/liberal fantasy that this man will be impeached, even if the Congress flips in November?
I do think it's a fantasy. I do think there could be enough that can happen that would kind of disqualify him from reelection through the process. You know, I do think in order for him to have to be impeached, it would have to be on the line of treason, you know, where there are phone calls with him and Putin, okay, here's what we're going to do with this election. You know what I mean? It's like the line has got to be so harsh that our number one, you know, geopolitical, adversary and our president, and the reason he was, because he owes them, whether it's this or so, he had no choice, that he is being controlled, and it is a very clear line where even his most ardent supporters are going to be completely un-American. Short of that, I do think what's going to happen is that there will be enough that will make him what I call a disqualifying choice, that even if he decides to run, or maybe he decides not to run, that the country will be so fed up, and so just we got to start fresh, like them or not, or certainly those swing voters. And that's my fantasy.
You just used the word enough, okay?
Yeah.
For the people in the hats, for the people at the rallies, whatever part of the country, and they're picked quite carefully, okay?
Yes, they are.
What would be enough? What would make them finally say,
to be honest,
wait a second, I was wrong.
I think there are 35%. There is nothing.
Nothing.
It's just because to them, it is make America white again. And it's the dictator playbook. My problems are not my fault. It's the brown guy. It's the Jewish guy. It's the banker guy. It's the media guy. And that is a, because otherwise that person is going to have to come to terms with, not only was I wrong in my choice, but maybe there's something wrong with what I'm doing. And it is my fault, my plot in life. And people don't turn that way. But it is that 4 or 5% of his base, and then the 10% swing that will be very compelled, and that's what you hope for. And let us not forget that it still was 78,000 votes that got him there. And so that 78 plus, I think, would really, in a heart boot, move away. But in answering your question, if you say his base is somewhere between 35 and 40, you know, that 35 ain't going anywhere. And that's just because they want to make America white again, and they don't like their plot in life, and they want to wind the clock back 50 years, and this is the way to do it.
We're talking with my pal Donnie Deutsch on the Mike Lubega podcast. More with Donnie in a minute, but first, a word from Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Just switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about a homeowner's or renter's insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. Do you think he fully understood that there was that much of that sentiment in this country until we started down the rabbit hole the day he talked about building the wall? The moment he talked about the wall and the crowd went crazy and he thought, holy crap, that really played.
Well,
I didn't know
how
well it was.
It started with the birther movement, because he saw, by the way, the polls showed that when he came out with that, I think it was 45% of Americans and 56% of Republicans were buying that, you know. So he was like, a lot of people don't like having a black president here, you know, because that's all that was, obviously. And then the wall, and yeah, that was it. The wall was it. Build a wall, you know, let's not let them, different people of different colors, and, you know, they're going to take your jobs, and they're going to kill you, and this country was better in 1956, and that was the message. And, yep, he didn't know it. He stumbled on it, and as being a day trader, he knew when he had a winning trade, and he just stuck with it.
You know, it's funny. Anybody who has grown up at this time in America, or the time before this, or the time before that, knows that we, and will probably always exist on a racial fault line, okay? But this fear that he has stoked about immigrants, and the idea that somehow that some guy coming across the border illegally from Honduras, okay, with his family, is more dangerous than a white guy picking up a gun and going into a hotel window and gunning down all those people in Las Vegas is more of a threat than all of the shooters we've had in this country.
Look,
over the last 5 or 6
statistically,
years.
The immigrants have the lowest crime rate compared to a traditional crime rate. The mistake the Democrats make is Trump gets on the air last week and calls the MS-13 guys animals, which is correct, by the way. Those people are animals. Then the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, run off, and he's calling immigrants animals. No, he's not. That's where you lose the fight. No, he's not. He's saying gang members are animals, so agree with that and say, but by the way, the danger in saying that is that casts a shadow. But don't twist that upside down, because there are some animals coming in. But the majority are not, just like there are some animals that are, as you said, that are white living in this country, and the majority are not. So, you know, in order to make cogent arguments, you can't all of a sudden, then when he says something like that, he's saying immigrants are all animals. He didn't say that, okay? I mean, if he said that, let's hold him to it, but that's not what he said when he said that. And so, you know, the good news is this. As of 2009, that the children being born in this country that now there's no such thing as minority majority. I mean, actually, whites are the minority. You know, that now half the children from 2009 and every year forward, so this goes back 8 or 9 years, we are truly now a mosaic, and it is not a white majority. And that is going to demographically play out over the next 5, 6, 7 years as those people become voters. So, you know, like it or not, this country is becoming a mosaic of, obviously it is already, but will continue to be. So this kind of wall mentality is just not something that is going to be sustainable from a political point of view, just from a pure demographic wave point of view. It might not happen in this next election, but starting in 2024 going forward, that is going to be built into the voting populace.
You know, you look at, and I'm aware of this every time I write a column or I go on television, that if you get too hysterical about this, you help him. Okay. Again, you've got to pick your battles. Your level of outrage has to be important, because there was a famous old boxing character in Boston, a promoter named Sam Silverman, Suitcase Sam Silverman. Bud Collins was great friends with him. Okay. And he had a saying, every knock is a boost. And I'm telling you, Trump is the living embodiment of that. If they protest big time, even outside in the area around Windsor Castle, okay, it will help him with his base.
Yeah, here's the way you go at his base one by one, and it's interesting. You never say to somebody, you're a fucking asshole, how'd you vote for Trump? Trump is an asshole. You start with, hey, guess what? I get why you voted for Trump, and I almost did also. But can I ask you a question? Are you okay? Let's not even talk politics. Are you okay with the way he behaves just as a person? You know, you're a father. And you get him there, because if anybody says yes, then you can't have a discussion anymore. And then somebody says, yeah, you know, he's an asshole, you know, and you go, okay, well, that's where I'm starting from. So you get an agreement, bad guy, you know, or certainly his behavior to most civilized people is unacceptable. And then I move and go, you know what, we can argue back and forth about politics, but at the very least, don't we at least need to say, if we look for kids, it's the behavior in chief. Like, you and I can argue 10 ways back and forward. And, you know, you kind of then, instead of saying you're an asshole or this, you don't invalidate them. And there were a lot of reasons to vote for Trump. But you start to, instead of validating why you vote for him, you start to then, and then you pick things apart one by one by one. When they talk about, you know, well, those people didn't belong here in the first place, they're pulling kids away. I go, but you know what? Where's your grandfather from? Where's your great-grandfather from? They were running from something also. That's who we are. Like it or not, that's who we are. That's who we are. And sometimes there's, you know, so you kind of come at them and you chip and chip and chip away, and you're not going to turn all up around. You're not going to turn certainly any of that 35, 36%. But there is a way to engage instead of in hysterics, as you said.
Talking to Donnie Deutsch on the Gillette Hotline. This is a Mike Lupica podcast, and I knew this would be good today because I know Donnie. Donnie, we constantly talk. I use the line today in my column that the country we aspire to be and we are supposed to be. Okay, but when do we have to say when do we get to stop saying this isn't who we are?
And we get to do it or not do it in November. I mean, that's it. Everything else is bullshit. You know, that's when it counts. And, you know, to all those people that voted for a third-party candidate, well, this is, that is the answer. And by the way, if the voting does not correct it, well, then that's the will of the people. And we're all going to have to kind of deal with what comes. I mean, that is it. That is democracy. And that's why, by the way, all these people protesting outside of this new Supreme Court, no. He won an election, and that's what's at stake in elections. And by the way, the two people he put in there are, you may not agree with their politics, but this is a Yale graduate. This is a good man. So this is what elections are for. And you don't get to then protest afterwards. We don't like your choice. We don't like your choice. Well, then you should have elected a different president. So that is the answer to your question, Mike.
Donnie, do you believe that by the sheer volume of his attacks and by continually sending out a shameful figure named Rudolph Giuliani, he has been successful, not with the 35% that we always talk about. Has he been successful at somehow marginalizing the work of Mr. Mueller, who never answers back?
Yes, because I gave you the example when I was talking about my friend, who very educated friend, who thought that, you know, the Democrats were the ones who, you know, were causing this problem at the border. Yes, until the facts come out. You know, here's what, and I talk to Michael Cohen about this a lot, almost on a daily basis. It actually doesn't matter until what comes out. So, you know, of course it's going to have some effect, but what is Mueller? Mueller's not going to come out and go, oh, wait till you see what I have. I mean, so of course, if somebody is barking, it's bullshit, why is it taking so long? But then the day is going to come, and that we all believe, or something, that Robert Mueller is going to come with stuff that is kind of irrefutable, where it's documents and it's tape recordings and it's things, and it doesn't matter what Julia. So yes, even if he's swayed that 5, 6, 7, 9, 10%, well, they're gonna find God at that point, you know, and Rudy Giuliani is gonna be, you know, derobed as the clown, as the pathetic clown that he is. He to me is a more tragic figure than Trump. You and I are, you know, born and bred, you know, we're New Yorkers to our core. What an embarrassment he is. What a fool to just be near the flame, anything to sell your soul so that you can kind of be in the news, you pathetic little man.
Talking to Donny Deutsch, got a few minutes left with him. The reason that I, still put a lot of faith in well, I mean, Mueller is a great American in to my view and in the view of reasonable people. Okay, but Trump would have dropped all of this. Okay, except for one fact: all of the things that Mueller probably knows, Donnie, Trump knows.
Yeah. That's by the way, which is why they're doing what they're doing. If, by the way, there's a body buried in your backyard, okay, you can either, number one, hope nobody finds it, or then go, no, that's not a body, or the guy that's telling the body is full of shit, you know, and they only have that third playbook because they know there's a body there and they know it's going to be found. So that he is basically telegraphing his guilt. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. Otherwise, if you were innocent, you still would be happy about it. You go, this is ridiculous, and it's going to be proven. And you know, by the way, like I said, if they were trying to prove that you colluded with Russians, you go knock yourself out, okay? And aren't you going to be foolish, and you'd be more – but if you knew you did it, what would you be doing? You'd be crying foul. This is unfair. They're liars. They're cheats. They're stealers, because that's your only play. So he's telegraphing his guilt.
Donnie, as we look at the next months in this country, and then the incredibly important year after that, do you believe, and I'm not talking about the political center, this might sound highfalutin, but you know it's not, okay? Is the center going to hold in America? Because that to me is the question. Who we are is under attack now. Okay. And you know what scares me, Donnie? It sounds like a slight digression, but it's part of the question I'm asking you about the center. Okay. You know what scares me? That this guy figured out how easy it was, even in our system, to get away with the shit he's gotten away with.
It's scary. It's scary. Well, we're being tested. Our system is being tested, and I believe in our system. So we will see. Mike, I'll tell you, I have to go. You know why I have to go, Mike? Because I have a serious radio show in less than an hour. I give women, well, you haven't been on it because it's a call-in show where I give women relationship advice.
I know a lot about relationships.
Okay,
I
help the women of America, those who can do, those who can teach. and I give them the male perspective, and it is the most fun hour of my week other than when I'm with my children. So as much as I would like...
So you're saying, wait a minute, you're saying this isn't like, you getting this advice show isn't like putting like Willie Sutton in charge of bank security?
It kind of is, actually, and that's the stress of it, okay? It's inside the criminal mind. I mean, so it's basically if a woman calls up and says, here's what's going on, my husband said this, is he cheating? I will explain to them what's going on. And the mistake that women make is they go to their girlfriends. No, go to a smart guy. And if you want to laugh, Mike, tune on Sirius 109 at 12 noon Eastern time today. I'm not doing this to promote. I'm doing it for your pure entertainment, and you will laugh harder than you've ever laughed.
I am going to listen to you on my way into the city to do Ari's show. You have a deal. But Donnie, thank you so much.
Mike, you're the best.
This was so much fun today, and we have to do it much sooner again than we've done it lately.
Now, am I still in the penalty box on the Writers and Artists softball game?
I assume you're going to play this year.
I'm playing this year.
Okay. All right, baby. You're out of the penalty box. Donnie Deutsch, thank you so much, my friend. So this, there were so many other fun things I wanted to get to, but if you watch Donnie Deutsch on Morning Joe, you know that even though he has a great sense of humor and he loves to be outrageous, this is a really smart guy about the current political scene, and you just heard it over the last hour. He's why we love doing this every single week on this podcast. Continue to subscribe, continue to download, go ahead and leave comments about it, and we will talk to you next week, everybody.
The Mike Lupica Podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica Podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica Podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.